In today's news headlines, at least 49 people are dead in Christchurch, New Zealand, after a gunman opened fire on two mosques on Thursday. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern labeled it a terrorist attack and said it was one of New Zealand's darkest days.
It is clear that this can now only be described as a terrorist attack. From what we know, it does appear to have been well planned. Two explosive devices attached to suspects' vehicles have now been found and they have been disarmed. There are currently four individuals who have been apprehended, but three are connected to this attack who are currently in custody. One of which has publicly stated that they were Australian born. These are people who I would describe as having extremist views that have absolutely no place in New Zealand and, in fact, have no place in the world.
That's New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern speaking on Thursday evening about the terrorist attack on two mosques in Christchurch. A portion of the New Zealand massacre was live streamed on Facebook as the shooter apparently wore a video recording device on his head. According to the New York Times, before the shooting, someone appearing to be the gunman posted links to a white nationalist manifesto on Twitter and 8chan, an online forum known for extremist right-wing discussions. The 8chan post included a link to what appeared to be the gunman's Facebook page, where he said he would also broadcast live video of the attack. President Donald Trump, who enjoys a lot of support on forums like 8chan, posted a tweet on Friday morning saying, "My warmest sympathy and best wishes go out to the people of New Zealand after the horrible massacres in the mosques." A total of four people, three men and one woman, have been taken into custody. At least one of them is Australian. One man in his 20s has been charged with murder and will appear in court on Saturday. Elsewhere in the world, the U.S. has also apparently influenced violence and gun culture. In Brazil, where a school shooting shocked the nation earlier this week, it has now been revealed that the two young men responsible for the massacre were inspired by the 1999 Columbine shooting in Colorado. According to AP, friends and former classmates told investigators that 17-year-old Guillermo Tauchi Monteiro and 25-year-old Enrique de Castro were obsessed with the attack on Columbine High School. They had apparently been planning the attack at the high school for months. Here in the U.S., parents of those killed in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre celebrated a victory after the Connecticut Supreme Court opened an avenue for them to sue gun manufacturers. The victims' parents had filed a suit challenging the immunity that Congress has given gun makers against being liable for how their weapons are used. The manufacturer of the Bushmaster rifle used by the Sandy Hook shooter had been advertised with the slogan, "Consider your man card reissued." A 4-3 ruling by the state Supreme Court upheld a lower court ruling that, quote, "it falls to a jury to decide whether the promotional schemes alleged in the present case rise to the level of illegal trade practices and whether fault for the tragedy can be laid at their feet." Nicole Hockley, the mother of a 6-year-old boy who was among those killed, said, "No one has blanket immunity. There are consequences. We want our day in court to see why they do this way and what needs to change." In other news, the U.S. Senate issued its second rebuke to President Trump in 2 days with the passage of a resolution disapproving of his national emergency declaration to obtain border wall funding. 12 Republican senators, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Rand Paul, Mitt Romney, Mike Lee, Lamar Alexander, Jerry Moran, Pat Toomey, Rob Portman, Roger Wicker, Roy Blunt, and Marco Rubio, joined Democrats in voting for the measure, which has already passed the House. This final Senate vote was 59-41. It's the first time in American history that both chambers of Congress have voted against a president's declaration of national emergency. Trump has already said he will veto it. In the days leading up to the vote, Trump apparently called several GOP senators and urged them to vote against the resolution, saying it would be equivalent to a vote against him and threatening their political futures if they didn't comply. The ploy obviously didn't work. Speaking to reporters on Thursday alongside Ireland's Prime Minister, Trump addressed Britain's struggle with negotiating a Brexit deal. As usual, he made the story all about him and criticized Prime Minister Theresa May's approach.
I was standing out on Turnberry, and we had a press conference, and people were screaming. That was the day before, if you remember. I think you were there. And people were screaming, and I said, no, I think it's going to happen. And people were surprised I made the prediction, and because President Obama made the opposite prediction, and I was right. And I will tell you, I'm surprised at how badly it's all gone from the standpoint of a negotiation. But I gave the Prime Minister my ideas on how to negotiate it, and I think you would have been successful. She didn't listen to that, and that's fine. I mean, she's got to do what she's got to do, but I think it could have been negotiated in a different manner, frankly.
That's President Trump on Thursday speaking to reporters at the White House about the Brexit negotiations. Of course, Trump made no mention of North Korea, where his self-declared negotiating skills have had an embarrassing failure. North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un is apparently on the verge of deciding whether or not to continue talks with the U.S. and others and keep his moratorium on missile testing in place. Vice Foreign Minister Choi Sun-hui addressed the reporters on Thursday and expressed her nation's disappointment and how the recent summit in Hanoi between President Trump and Mr. Kim transpired. According to AP, Choi, who attended the February 27th, 28th talks in Hanoi, said Kim was puzzled by what she called the eccentric negotiation position of the U.S. She suggested that while Trump was more willing to talk, an atmosphere of hostility and mistrust was created by the uncompromising demands of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor John Bolton. She said statements by senior Trump advisors since the summit have further worsened the climate. More details have emerged from the fatal air crash of the Ethiopian Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 8. Apparently, the plane's captain immediately realized there were problems minutes after takeoff when the plane reached an abnormally high speed. The pilot is now known to have desperately sought permission to land as air traffic controllers scrambled to divert other flights. Air traffic controllers say they watched the plane dip up and down by hundreds of feet, indicating clearly that there were serious problems. After 5 minutes in the air, they lost all communication with the pilots. Similar problems were observed with the Lion Air crash over Indonesia less than 6 months ago. The majority of nations that have Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft have grounded the planes. And that does it for our headlines today.